You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, we are back. This is Dino
and Michelle. Stuffy, but Michelle.
And this is Cough Sick Podcast. Now, this is Home Podcast. Come rain nor shine nor crud of night, we want to bring you what's going on. So yeah, we've been pretty bit. This is what, episode 20 now?
I've lost count.
Holy moly. Let me check real quick. This is live radio, folks. What? Yeah. We've just been running around like mad.
Running around like fools.
We've got, yeah, this is 20.
Running around like fools, but I don't feel like we're accomplishing anything.
So we're running around like Ramsey would say, busy idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. I'm sure we are accomplishing things. It just doesn't feel like it.
Right. Well, I mean, we're coming into Hell Week for the Rocky Horror Shadow Cast.
I finally have my costume.
Finally have your costume.
It only took me skipping practice to be able to get to the store to buy my costume.
Well, yeah. A little irony. But, yeah, we're hoping to include in this episode here, if I'm not including it here, I'm not going to. I'll put it on YouTube. So by the time you hear this, it'll probably be past the time of the play, in which case, man, it went great. I killed it. Michelle killed it. Standing ovations all around. But no, in realsies, we're coming up on Hell Week. The show is going to be Friday and Saturday. I'm excited for it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be a little sad myself for, you know, I've grown to, you know, partner with these people and do this. And
that's what always happens for me. I'm excited. I can't wait for the shows. But then once the shows actually start, you know that you're getting towards the end. And you're like, oh, man. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to see these people anymore.
Yeah, and like I was saying, you know, this is something that has kind of been a dream of mine for 30 years now. You know, I've known about Rocky Horror, you know, growing up. You know, in our local theater on Long Island, in Lynbrook, they used to do the Friday and Saturday night shows. But I didn't see it until it, the first time I saw it was when it came on VHS, 30 years ago. And then Andrew and I and a bunch of people used to watch it all the time and everything. And I always dreamed of playing Riff Raff. I always, you know, and then when it, this is finally something that I've been able to do, and I'm having a great time doing it. But after this, you're gonna be involved in a new play. But did you have something
We've already had practice for that. But I think what we're gonna miss most of all is hearing the girls sing.
Time Warp.
Time Warp. Oh. And they've learned part of Eddie's dance.
Yeah, and it's funny. If you go back to our episode last year, our Halloween episode, I think it might have been episode 3. I was listening to it the other day. Mm-hmm. And it was about when we went to go see the Shadow Cast, and we're like, yeah, we'll probably hold off on having the kids watch this one. Especially, you know, even Killian, we might have them hold up. And, man, we kind of did a 180 on that, boy.
Well, it was because when we were both in practice, it was easier to have them come.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they had come to practices before and kind of did their own thing and didn't necessarily pay attention to what practice was or what we were doing. And, you know, I figured I'd be bringing different things to entertain them with, coloring books and whatnot, and I knew that there was going to be other kids there, so I just, you know, figured it wasn't gonna, but apparently it, like, grabbed on, they latched to it, they gravitated towards it, and they sing the Time Warp, they dance the Time Warp, we hear them singing varied songs from it. Now, I mean, we're not gonna bring them to the actual
right
play, because there are parts that we do not practice, because as a shadow cast, we don't do. So, and those are
like
parts
the whole
that
bed silhouette scene,
right? And, yeah. So they haven't seen that, and they haven't gotten the full on heckling,
right?
Because there isn't full on heckling during the practices. So
right, we do have some planted hecklers, you know.
Right.
And then there are people who have seen Rocky Horror, who grew up with it, who are coming to do that. You know, we had our Oktoberfest, was it last weekend?
The 5th.
And, you know, I was out in costume handing out flyers and trying to drum up, and there were a lot of people who were like, hey, you guys are doing that great, you know, we'll come out. So there are people who have an experience of Rocky Horror who are coming.
Right.
So there's going to be more than 5 people heckling, and yeah, the kids have not been exposed
to that part of it. Now, granted, because of the hour of the play and because of the fact that we're both in it, they're going to be in the theater while the play is going on. Just, you know, because it's hard to find a babysitter who can, you know, the play doesn't start till 9:00 at night, and by the time everything gets said and done, to pick them up around, you know, 11:30, that's just too much. So we actually spoke to the director, and there's a room in the theater that she's going to allow them to stay in.
Right.
So they won't necessarily.
Right. And they won't be the only.
No, I bet you there'll be one or two other.
Yeah.
Younger ones in there. So.
So yeah, it's not like we're, you know,
we have line. You know, we have lines that we've drawn. They may be further than what other people would draw, but.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, because you want to balance, and this has been our thing, you want to balance the, you know, keeping their innocence. Even Killian, who's going to be 12 on Halloween, you know, you still want to maintain that innocence while you can.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to demystify the taboo also.
Mm-hmm.
That way it's not a, you know, an attraction to rebellion later on.
Well, it was funny how it all, and I think we've discussed this a little bit on one of the other episodes, but it all kind of came out together. We were watching, you know, RuPaul in Skin Wars.
Right.
And then they started coming to the practices and seeing some of the movie, you know. So, yeah, I mean, we have discussed a little bit about, not necessarily transgender, but, what's the word?
Like cross-dressing.
Cross-dressing. And, yeah, you know, now, yes, some men like to dress like women. They ask me why. And my truthful answer is, I don't know.
Yeah.
They just do. And that was a good enough answer for them. They're like, oh, okay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, why do you like purple and why does she like blue? It's just...
There's a preference.
Yeah.
There.
You know, so... And they just took the answer and ran with it. And, you know, yeah, I do like hearing them sing the songs. And don't know why it's endearing, but it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Of all the things that we've seen or done on the show and what they've been exposed to, the one thing that kind of irked me or creeped me out, and I say that tongue in cheek, is when Nico saw our actor who was playing Rocky in his golden, you know, golden tighties and was like, why is he wearing that?
That was Titi. That wasn't Nico.
That was Titi? Oh, our youngest one. Yeah. So,
why is he wearing his underwear?
Why is he? But Nico seemed pretty enamored. And was like, okay now, Neek. Because she's the one that, you know, as a little kid would, you know, if we're watching.
Wrestling.
She, oh, who's that? You know, and she was like attracted to John Cena. Or you were flipping through Facebook and there was a picture of Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
She'd be like, Mom, go back for a second. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hon, you're like five. What are you? So, yeah, we're. We might be in trouble come a few years.
Okay, but this is how much she doesn't get the whole point.
Uh-huh.
Is she's insistent that when she gets older, she's going to play Frankenfurter.
Okay.
So that's how she doesn't get the whole point of the movie.
Right. Okay.
Because she's like, but they're wearing girls' clothes, so a girl could play it.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's and even Killian gets it. He's like, no, Nico, you can't. that kind of takes away the whole point in the movie.
Of the and I do believe that. And this was something I didn't know. You know, a few years ago, Fox did a production of it. You know, a live taping, and they had what I thought was a girl playing Frank, and I'm like, what? But it turned out that she was trans. So I'm like, oh, okay. You know, at first I'm like, that, but
right.
She was, I mean, a very convincing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever. You know, it is.
So we've been doing that.
And then
Friday night we had fun with Killian.
Yeah, we went up to Carowinds, an amusement park on the border of North and South Carolina. And we went to what they call Scarowinds, which, you know, it's from 7 to midnight, and they make them, you know, put haunts in there, and people run around and chase you with chainsaws, and they have the regular roller coasters and all that. And it was a fun time.
I will say, though, their haunted houses, I actually were more impressed with them than I was when the one time we went to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal.
Yeah.
I preferred it much more.
Yeah. And, you know, he was scared, but he bucked up.
Well, he learned pretty quickly that when you look at them and go, hi!
Yeah, they kind of...
kind of takes away their... They didn't hide. It's not like they hid and jumped out at you.
Right. You knew they were around corners.
Right. Well, you knew they were around the corners, but sometimes they were walking straight towards you.
Right.
And it looked, you know, they would make it look like they were going to walk right past you, and then they would just kind of like stomp their foot and lunge at you and go, arr! You know?
Mm-hmm.
But he learned that if he just looked at them and goes, hi,
they
would just keep on walking, or they would kind of get like this little smile like, oh, okay.
Right, and you know, at first Killian's like, but they're going to chase you. You know, they're chasing people. Well, then don't run.
Yep.
If you don't chase, don't run away.
Mm-hmm.
They're only going to come so close to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, like I said, that was a good time. We had a good time just to...
We will never ride the Nighthawk again.
No, that... Yeah. Mm-mm. This one here, you sit in it, and then it tilts you all the way back, so you're laying on your back and looking straight up. And then it just... I was completely... kind of got disoriented with that. And then when you're done doing flips and this, which would have been fine on a regular sit up or even like one of the ones where your feet hang suspended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is completely, you know, messed up. But if you're feeling sick, there is no way for you to sit up. So what happens if you vomit? You're going to die. You're going to pull a Jimi Hendrix and you're going to choke on your own vomit. I don't
maybe
see a way around it.
Put your head to the side.
Yeah, and...
I mean, somebody has to have thrown up on there before.
Yeah, I mean,
I was damn close to it.
Yeah, you were close to it. I was just like, you know what, let me get right, you know?
Although I will tell you, I watched it because I wanted to tell somebody that I was talking about it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what, let me find, I'm sure there's got to be a video of it out there. So I Googled it, and I did find a video for it. I do have to say it looks like it's much different during the daytime.
Yeah.
You see a lot more of where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think part of it was we were in the last row.
Right. Because we were in the quote-unquote front, which was really the back.
So I think in this one you want to be... up towards the front.
Right.
So you get even if you tilt your head just a little bit, you can see the track coming up. But during the daytime, it looks like, because there was a POV shot that I watched from somebody on the ride, and where they were in the very front row, and you could see where you were going.
Right.
You could see the track. And at the daytime, it didn't seem... So I will kind of say... If I try Dramamine, see if that helps.
Right.
I may be willing to give that ride another shot, but only during daylight hours and only if I can get in row one.
See, I couldn't see crap because I'd take my glasses off.
Yeah, well, see, you'd
so
have
everything
to,
was a black blur.
You'd have to do that anyway.
Right.
So that one might not be an option for you at any point.
Yeah, I'd have to get like the old croaky thing that...
Well, then, yeah.
Keeps my glasses on my head.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
So I may be willing to give it one more shot, but it's going to have to be a daytime ride, and I'm going to have to be heavy on the Dramamine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I even tried the Ricochet, which is like the cat and mouse.
Yeah, the crazy mouse.
The crazy mouse one from the state.
Yeah, that one whipped you around.
Even that one made me sick.
Yeah, that one did make me sick, but dang, I was afraid of flying off the thing. I was like, ah! Man, that one.
But I was talking to my mom after I went and picked the girls up yesterday, because they stayed at our parents' house while we took Killy, and it was kind of his little birthday thing that we did for him. But I told mom, I said, you know, it wasn't actually that bad. That next year I'd consider taking the girls with us.
Yeah.
Because they still had the Snoopy Camp mm-hmm. up, which is all the smaller rides and stuff like that. And it was a great pumpkin. The Great Pumpkin.
Yeah.
So taking them to experience that part of it. But what I liked about Scarewinds that I don't remember Universal doing.
Mm-hmm.
In Scarewinds, you can actually buy like this necklace thing
mm-hmm.
where the necklace had like little lights in it that were blue, and then it had like a spider web at the end that turned blue. And if you bought that necklace and wore it, that was a sign to all the employees that that particular person did not want to get scared. It was called no boo.
Yeah.
A no boo necklace. So, you know, when we're walking through some of the other places, you know, the girls can have those on, and, you know, they'd be relatively...
Right. Well, because even, you know, Titi, I would say Titi more than Nico, is, you know, more interested in the scary things. You know, like going to Walmart and going to the Halloween section.
Oh, yeah.
Or going to, you know, the Halloween store, Spirit Halloween or whatever. You know, Titi loves that stuff.
Titi sat with us today.
Yeah, we rented Crawl. I know we talked about it a couple episodes ago, but we watched Crawl and again. And Titi was like, yeah, I want to watch it.
Sat and watched the whole thing.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, so I think next year we might try and... Because I'll go again.
Yeah.
I'll go again. Might try and take them next year and... See how they enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I will say, especially with Carowinds, it's something you need to do during the day, too, because the 5 hours that they give you just is not enough to ride rides.
No, not when you're waiting for 45 minutes to an hour for one thing.
Yeah, so basically you need to pick, like, okay, I want to go on this ride and this. Well, either you buy the Fast Pass, And right. the Fast Pass will work for you to
which
get on.
Which is like another $50.
Right, which something. Will work for you to get on everything. You either buy that Fast Pass or you decide ahead of time, okay, I want to do either, you know, one or two rides at the most.
And then do all
and
the
And then
haunts.
Do all the haunt stuff. I mean, when, I don't even think even at that you're going to get through all the haunted houses. Because they had 5 different haunted houses.
Right.
They had 8 different scare zones. And I think they had 5 different, like, live entertainment
right.
stations. So you're in 5 hours, you're not going to get to see all of those things.
Right. But even if you're a person that doesn't want to ride the rides, I think it was worth the money to
oh,
go
yeah. Absolutely.
For the atmosphere.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're spending 5 hours in, you know, this whole Halloween horror movie atmosphere. If you're a horror lover, you know, and you don't love roller coasters,
you're still gonna get
your money's worth oh, yeah. out of it, I feel.
Oh yeah.
So, all right, we're gonna take a little break for a second, and we will be right back.
Great news, T. Burrows.
Okay, we're back. So, anything else we've been doing? No, just play. I've been working, you've been doing school. And the other play, because now, mm-hmm. once mm-hmm. this lights up, you and the kids are going full force into the Christmas play.
Yep.
And then...
That's going to be another 4 days a week, every
yep.
week.
I've recorded a couple of videos on YouTube. Well, a couple of phone calls that I've put on YouTube. One was with director B. Harrison Smith, director of Death House, Camp Dread, with Eric Roberts and Daniel Harris, Garlic and Gunpowder, with Alyssa Rose. That's a fun interview. The guy is... just a great listen. He's got a podcast called Cinema and has a blog. Go check that out. Go check out my interview with him on YouTube. The guy has got his opinions. Like him, hate him, he's got the opinions. And he was a blast. Great guy to talk to. November... we have the Buried Alive Film Festival. If you follow my Facebook page or follow the Twitter, you know I plugged that to the hilt. We went last year, plan on going this year. I interviewed Blaine McLaren, who was involved with the film festival. He is also the co-host of Grindhouse Messiah, which is another podcast on the Farsighted Network. We had a great 10-minute talk about the upcoming film festival. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you could get down to Atlanta, it's in the Little Five Points area, come to that film festival. Come meet us. We'll say hi.
You'll say hi.
Huh?
You'll say hi.
You'll give him the finger.
No. Now I'll be chasing 3 little ones around.
But, I mean, as far as watching stuff, anything that we've been watching lately.
Masked Singer came back on.
Doing
that one again, still watching Survivor.
Yeah.
Killian and I are making our way through Friends.
Right. Which is, gotten a whole new generation of, haters. Now I've noticed. I think so, yeah. You know, people are, talking about, you know, oh, it's problematic, I think. And it's like, you know what? Once again, don't... you're judging crap from 20 years ago with a cultural snobbery of now. Yeah, okay. You know, it's like, if you go back and watch Meatballs, the whole movie of Meatballs is Bill Murray trying to rape somebody. I mean, if you're looking at it through this lens. Mm-hmm. The whole movie is Bill Murray me-tooing this one lady. Or you can look at it from back then and take it for what it is. But nobody's going back and railing against that one. I hope I didn't start anything.
What'd you do?
I see. It's my fault. Meatballs. Instead of meatballs, it should be called Me Too. Anyhow, that was tongue-in-cheek. Don't rail against meatballs.
No, he's enjoying it. He's enjoying the show.
Yeah. And once again, there are certain things where we're like, okay, this was this episode. Let's not have him watch this. Yeah.
Although I will say there's a couple of nights I've fallen asleep and I've realized he's gotten about 5 episodes ahead of me.
Like, oh!
So the next day I back up and thankfully I haven't found anything that's,
Yeah.
But then again, it's 5 episodes ahead of when I fell asleep, but I don't know when he fell asleep.
Right. So it could be it one. Could be the whole thing.
It didn't mean he watched all 5.
Right.
But we're almost done.
Yeah.
Most of the way through season 6.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. On Netflix, El Camino premiered, and you haven't seen that yet. That was the Breaking Bad movie, and it is what happened to Jesse Pinkman after the series finale. I loved it. It was a great 2-hour episode of Breaking Bad. It, artistically, I mean, the only thing is the character of Todd seemed like he gained about 15-20 pounds, and it was supposed to be that same day, you know, or that same time period, you know, even though 8 years later. But, you know, let that go. And, but I loved it. Great cap off. I suggest you watch it. Because you like Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
3 from Hell. Another one I had watched. You haven't seen that one yet. This is getting mixed reviews. People love it or people hate it. I loved it. I thought it was Rob Zombie's most grounded film. Granted, I'm take or leave with Rob Zombie's movies. I can leave a whole lot of them. And I could take a few. You know, the first Halloween movie, the theatrical cut, I loved. Didn't like the director's cut. House of 1,000 Corpses kind of grew on me in time. Devil's Rejects I've loved from the beginning, and this one I love too. I think he handled Sid Haig's passing very well. Or at that point he hadn't passed yet, but everyone knew, well, Rob knew, Sid knew, that Sid wasn't able to do. You know, he had rewritten a script and kept cutting down Captain Spaulding's role. So he got 10 minutes in the beginning, which is a great send-off, I think. But, like I said, I liked it. I mean, I was talking with one guy on Facebook who is part of the, you know, film Twitter, has a podcast, has a blog and all this. I won't mention who he is, because I agree with a lot of what he says, and I don't want to create waves or crap. But, he went on this whole thing about how, and there's a reason why I'm mentioning this, you know, this goes along with my interview with Harrison Smith. So once again, go and watch that on YouTube about opinions and anger and kind of ragey culture type of thing, you know, behind the keyboard and behind the wall. You have this freedom to say stuff to people that you wouldn't say to their face. Because, you know, there's this protection. anonymity, or even though I might know your face and I know who you are, there's still this impersonal thing with social media. But he had said that he doesn't get the film, he didn't like it, but anyone that calls it a masterpiece has never seen a real film in their life. And what else did he say? I don't want to misquote him. Oh, they're Rob Zombie bandwagoners and have never seen a good film ever in their life. And then when people came back at him and said, dude, what do you, you know, and then one guy got upset and unfriended him for that. He got all defensive and then put another post on talking about how he is getting attacked for his opinion. And it's just an opinion about a movie, and it shouldn't, he shouldn't be criticized or attacked for his opinion.
He was attacking people, not the movie.
That's what I said. And I said, dude, your opinion is fine. I hate, you're allowed to dislike a film. You can dislike any film you want. You can dislike Jaws, and I won't hate you for it. I'll say you're wrong, dead wrong, and you're entitled to your wrong opinion. But I'm not going to hate you for that. You know? I hate films that people love. That horror people love. And I've been crucified for it. You know? I hate the Blair Witch Project. Always have. Since day one. I hate The Killing of a Sacred Deer. People love it. Hey, great. That's fine.
I'm in between on that one.
I don't like people who go to me and go, oh, well, you didn't understand it. Well, screw you. I'm not an idiot. I didn't like it. What? I'm an imbecile? I've got a college degree. I get it. I don't like it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You know? But you don't sit and you tell somebody, well, because you think this is good or you think this is bad, you've never seen a good film? Would I go and say it's a, quote, masterpiece? No. Would I say it's his best film? Yeah. So, is it his masterpiece? Relatively speaking, I guess I would have to say yes on that. You know? But, and I'm sorry, I've seen film. Mm-hmm. I've seen great films. I went to college and studied film. I know movies. My opinion is another, is just an opinion, though. You know? So I thought it was very ironic that that would be his next post. And then when I came to him and said, dude, your opinion is fine. It's the personal attack that people might be having a problem with. His response to me, it doesn't matter, I'm over it. Okay. Well, you got called out on your bullcrap. And here you are running this media network. Come on now. We got to be a little more mature than that. It was not Justin from the Farsighted Network, by the way. Let me be clear.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
No, it wasn't him. And he wouldn't have any qualms about yelling at me and calling me old anyhow, because he does that regularly.
We are old.
We are. Yeah, because I posted on, I think I did it on our Facebook, but I also did it on Instagram, and I said, yeah, I put a picture of me as Riff Raff, and I said, yeah, a Riff Raff for the next generation. And his smart-ass comment is, what next generation is damn near 50 years old? And I'm like, one that's not 70? Yeah, smart-ass. Anyhow, but Justin, we love you. Yeah, so this goes along with our movie that we're talking about today.
What movie are we talking about today?
Well, I put a thing out about on Twitter about rants and raves and rants. And
I'm not up on the times, guys.
You should have been. Well, because you don't jump on Twitter at all.
I don't.
But
I don't have enough time for Twitter. I argue with people in crosswalk too much.
You can tweet about that. But
I've also been sleeping a lot.
I think I put it on Facebook also. However, for some reason, people seem to just be more active on Twitter to respond, interactive rather, you know? And I wanted to know what people's film pet peeves were.
Oh, I did.
Either a pet peeve about a movie, or a pet peeve about people in a movie, or a pet peeve about social media about movies. That was my thing. And let me run through a few here. We have Palmer from Terra Incognita. He said cell phone usage and talking in a theater. They had someone trying to explain the entire backstory of Azeroth to their girlfriend when he went to go see the World of Warcraft movie. He finally had to tell him to shut up, and the guy got all pissy and left the theater with his girlfriend. What was that line in, what was it, Firefly? When, it was the episode where the girl was wanting to marry Mal. And, Mal had an opportunity to take advantage of her. And Shepherd Book said, if you do that, there is a special place in hell for you. Along with people who like to talk in the theater. but, yeah. Justin at Grindhouse Messiah, who is our host from the Far Side, said that there are so many horror fans, quote unquote horror fans, that don't like horror. They just like to wear the trendy Hot Topic t-shirts. Like, and then Blaine, the co-host, who I talked to on YouTube, once again, go and listen to that one. He confirmed that. Johnny Numb, co-hosted The Last Knock. He said the clicky, pretentious high school nature of film Twitter. In general, people who bring babies and children to R-rated movies. Do you remember when we saw Team America? Mm-hmm. And that guy was in there with like his three kids that were all like six and under? Yeah, Lovely Puppet Show to bring the kids to. People who yell at a screen in a non-MST3K or Rocky Horror setting.
People who go to Rocky Horror and don't yell at the screen.
Yeah, come on now. Or get, and that was why, remember I told you Lynbrook used to host it Friday and Saturday nights. They stopped because there was a fight. Because there were a bunch of meathead jocks who wanted to go and watch the movie and didn't know, I guess, that people yelled at the screen and got all mad and started crap. And they end up in a brawl. So, all it takes is one person to piss in the pool and ruin it for everybody else.
Yep.
And then he had one more. How the hype train the film hype train shapes people's perceptions more than the actual quality of the film. You know, preconceived notions, whatever. Yeah, and that kind of leads into the Emperor's New Clothes mentality. Everybody's saying this film is great, whatever. If you don't like it, well, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
And you don't, quote, get it. Well, you're the idiot. So you're afraid to be honest about your opinion. So you pretend you like something like, I don't know, Blair Witch Project. You know, because you're afraid of getting ridiculed. Yeah. So, thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that. Shane Beauregard from Media Mosh. He says parents that bring movies up. Parents who bring movies. Parents who bring kids to hard R. He said he had a parent who brought four kids all under the age of 7 to the last Rambo movie. Wow. Pine of Comics. I think this might be Johnny Ganache. And said, don't sit near me if there are plenty of seats in the theater. There's a buffer zone. Damn it, that pisses me off.
That's why I like those new big recliners.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily even need a buffer zone with those.
Yep.
You get an automatic one.
Yep.
With the sides.
The Cheers to Comics podcast said crunchy snacks. People are sitting there munching on, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
I guess the bag would bother me more than anything else. Right, you know, but. Do you remember when we saw Hereditary? I think within 4 minutes, the guy in front of us was asleep, snoring loudly. Like, dude. And at the end, oh, the movie sucked. Like, dude.
kind of going back to the people not liking when kids go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we've let our children see some, you know, some movies that you wouldn't necessarily take your child to the movie theater
mm-hmm.
to see.
Yeah.
But that's just what we did, is we didn't take them to the movie theater. We waited and we watched it at home.
Right. And there's a lot of times where we, you know, I'll go on IMDb and look under the parents' guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
And see, why is this rated R, or what is in this, or, dude, and even, go on the internet. And yeah, just,
even Killian knows to check that stuff out with games.
Uh-huh.
Like, if he sees a game that he thinks he wants to play, but, you know, he sees it as an M rating on it, he'll look at what the M rating is for.
Right.
And, you know, he knows exactly what will, you know, if it's an M rating for violence, well, you know, that kind of depends on the game, you know, Call of Duty. Well, of course, that's going to be violent. Or,
right.
You know, Dying Light, or, of course, it's going to be violent. You know, so he knows that that might not necessarily stop us, but if it says for nudity or sexual content. Or,
right.
He knows that, that's like, gonna, no. He knows that that's going to be a no-go.
Right.
You know, so you've got it. Parents have to do the same thing with movies.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of brings me to, I know, I think we were going to talk about it, is that video that's going around of the parents who took their kids to go see the Addams Family.
Right.
Did you not check it out
mm-hmm.
and before you took them?
Right. These are Christian parents 20 years ago, they who... had cows to produce. Sorry, that was... Alex Jones is trying to jump into our podcast. Yeah. These are Christian parents, which, okay, fine. Hey, great. God love you. We're Christians. Mm-hmm. And in honesty, I understand where you're coming from as far as your belief system. You're going to see the Addams Family. Know something about your source material. He goes in and comes out and does a video. And this is... I don't know what he expects. If you're going to leave based on your own personal convictions, okay. That's... But if you're going to put it out in a public forum, don't be mad when you get kickback on it. Because you're putting it out there to warn the world and Christians about this movie. You're going to get three responses. You're going to get a response from non-Christians who are going to laugh at you. You're going to get a reaction from Christians who will go, okay, well, thank you, God bless you, I'm with you, blah, blah, blah. Which is fine. Or you're going to get a response from Christians who don't have that same
conviction,
who are going to go, well, dude, take some personal responsibility beforehand. And this is the camp we sit in. Mm-hmm. Did you not know what the Addams Family were? They've only been around for 60-something years. Maybe more. They are a gothic, horror-centric medium. There's been comics. There's been cartoons. There's been movies in the past. There's been a TV show. They did a big Ouija board thing. If I'm not mistaken, I think there were crystal balls used in the original TV show from time to time. Scrying or using a Ouija board, they're both a type of divination. So,
yeah, because I think when I first saw the video, I'd asked you, mm-hmm. do you know if the Addams Family used a Ouija board? And you said you weren't sure.
You're right.
And, and I'm like, okay, well, they may not have.
Mm-hmm.
But in my general line of thinking is, okay, this is a cartoon that's pretty much taking place in present day, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So Ouija boards have kind of become synonymous with what the Addams Family represents.
Right.
So it makes sense that there would be a Ouija board
mm-hmm.
in the cartoon.
Right.
That's got to be something that, I didn't know it was going to be there, but it doesn't surprise me.
Right.
And that's got to be something where you've got to use common sense before going in.
Right. No, and even, okay, say your frame of reference was only the movies from the 90s. Okay, so you have a problem with the Ouija board, but you don't have a problem with Wednesday putting Pugsley in an electric chair. Where are your sensitivities?
Yeah, he had mentioned three different things. I forget what the first one was.
Like that, Pugsley climbing up the wall possessed by a demon?
That was the second one. There was something before that. He goes, that one kind of bothered him, then the Pugsley thing, and then what made them walk out was the third thing was the Ouija board.
Which I understand is over an hour into the movie, I think, though.
Is it?
I think so. But from the comments I've read, that happens 2/3 of the way into the movie. You've already sat through most of the film.
Yeah, but once the Ouija board came out, and this is what, they don't want anything from the Ouija board attaching to them in the movie theater. That is his comment, is that they don't want anything, they don't want what can be attached to them.
And this is where I have read the Bible. I've been reading the Bible for about 20 years. I don't see this in the writing. I don't see this in Paul's warnings to people. I don't see this in Scripture. I've heard it from the pulpit by taking Scripture and turning it ass backwards, to be blunt. But I don't.
Well, I mean, looking at the whole thing, I'm trying to wonder if he's, because the one that I watched,
yeah,
At the very bottom of it, I guess with his original caption to his video that he posted, says, had to walk out of another movie.
Oh, so this is a crusade this guy's on.
It seems like it might be, in that this is the first one that's gone viral.
Oh, well.
But his thing was, it did say, had to walk out of another movie. So this is not the first time he's done this. Oh,
congratulations, dude. Yeah, so he's seemed to have found his audience now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, and I said this on Facebook, if it wasn't for this, our podcast would be a whole lot shorter. So, thank you. But yeah, so along with the, I didn't get any comments. I thought I did get some comments on Facebook, but maybe I didn't.
I didn't respond.
No. Well, I would have asked you to save it for here anyhow. Do you have any?
Not that hasn't already been.
Okay. So, but yeah, with rants and raves and all this, I wanted to talk about a film that is, I'm not even going to say it's a cult classic, because I know of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, 8 people that know about this movie. 2 of them, that's including myself. So 7 people that know about this movie. 1 of them is me. 2 of them are the people that introduced me to it. And then the other 4 are people I've introduced the movie to. So we're a small group that know of this movie. And the film is High Strung from 1991. I have this on VHS. This was introduced to me by friends of mine, Gene and Wes, who I went to high school with Gene. And she and her husband had introduced me to this film in the mid-90s. And then I had introduced you.
Michael and Sarah watched it with us.
Michael and Sarah. Keith from Say It! Podcast. Killian. And oddly enough, I don't know if I had ever shown it to Andrew. Which is ironic.
Yeah.
Because the film is kind of about Andrew. Oh. No, I you know, I love Andrew. He was my old podcast partner in crime. But this film stars Steve Odekirk from Kung Pao, Enter the Fist. He was the writer of Ace Ventura 1 and 2.
Did all the Thumb movies.
The Thumb, Thumb Wars, Thumbtanic, Frankenthumb, The Blair Thumb.
Bat Thumb.
Barnyard. He did the Barnyard movie. Jimmy Neutron, he created Jimmy Neutron. Nothing to Lose with Tim Robbins and Martin Lawrence. I think he directed that one too, if I'm not mistaken. And he played the security guard who did like the funny dance in it. But this movie, and this film also has Jim Carrey in it, because Steve Odekirk was also a writer on In Living Color. Janie Lane from Warrant.
Fred Willard.
From all the Christopher Guest movies. And just comedy legend, Fred Willard. Thomas F. Wilson from Back to the Future, who played Biff. And he was also in April Fool's Day, the original April Fool's Day. And Denise Crosby from Star Trek Next Generation. She was Tasha Yar, I think. Yeah. And she was in the Walking Dead. She was the mother of the hipster guy at Terminus. Hmm. And the film stars, well, it doesn't star, but features a very young Kirsten Dunst before Interview with a Vampire. Hmm. But the film is about a man named Thane Furrows, and it is an hour and a half of him in his apartment pissing and moaning about life and just ranting. It's basically a stand-up routine, but just plays off as this soliloquy of everything in the world that sucks. Starts with flies, how they are the dirtiest of all bugs.
The dirty little devil bugs.
Yes.
Flies are the filthiest creatures on the planet. The number one carriers of disease. And they're pathetically stupid. The stupidest of all bugs. I mean, you've seen them, right? I mean, they sit around cleaning their hands all the time, you know, like it matters. So I go in my backyard. There's a piece of dog crap on the ground. A piece of dog crap. Fly sitting on it, cleaning his hands. How incredibly stupid would you have to be? What is this shit on here? It's there again. What is this shit?
And then he goes from that to watermelon popsicles.
You know what really gets me mad? I bought these natural watermelon popsicles. On the box, it said 100% natural, 100% watermelon. So I thought, hey, I love watermelon. I love popsicles. This should be the perfect thing for me. So I take a bite, and I notice there's something in my mouth. Something small and hard. So I spit it out. It was a seed. A seed! They actually put watermelon seeds in the popsicles! What is the possible marketing strategy here? Yes! Watermelon popsicles with all the annoyance of real watermelon! I mean, what's next? Banana-flavored popsicles with skin? Coconut-flavored popsicles with a thick top husk? It makes me sick! How do they expect me to eat this? What do they take me for? It is totally unacceptable! And don't expect me to just go along with it like, oh, no problem! Seeds in the popsicles? That's great! I love that!
Sometimes I just want to shut everything out. Just relax.
The hell you doing, waitress? Yes. You know that waitress that comes by every 3 seconds? How you doing?
Things okay? How you doing?
How you doing? Things all right? How you doing? Killian, we watched this with Killian, and he was on the floor with that one.
The whole thing is he's here. He has heard us.
Yeah.
Anytime we're in a restaurant and we have one of those waitresses, as soon as they, in the 3 minute break that they give you, Dino and I are always, how you doing? Things okay? Well, he finally got to watch the movie and see where we get it from, and it just,
yeah,
it had him rolling.
Robocalls.
Yeah.
Which, were kind of a new thing coming up at that point.
Every year, 8 people die because of letter bombs. 6 of those 8 are said to be in
junk mail. Now, I'm not paranoid, but I certainly don't want to be tearing open a Christmas card and spend the rest of my life looking like some biology student's wall chart. I hate these. This is one of those advertisements where they want you to think it's a letter from a friend. So with a computer, they insert your name in the copy and keep referring back to you throughout the letter. And look at this. You know, I wonder which word was inserted here. This must be a personal letter just to me. Hello, T. Burrows. We would like to introduce you to the wonderful world of mortgages. Which is so realistic because so many of my friends call me T. Burrows. Here's another one.
Great news, T. Burrows.
Three of these four people have already won $100,000. Mrs. Beatrice Daniels, Mr. Arthur Pennant, Lila Bellish, and T. Burrows. Boy, I wonder which of these four is going to be the big loser here. Oh, a dating service. Why, when there are thousands of single, eligible people in this area, do we spend so much time alone or in relationships of convenience? Your name may have been recommended by an existing member, or it may have been on one of the select lists we use to search out quality people. Great. So you pay a lot of money to go down to this little office and watch a bunch of other losers on videotape who were also stupid enough to pay a lot of money. And you go out on a loser date, and of course you have a really great time because you're losers. Then you get married, you have a couple kids, but one night you're watching TV and this real estate seminar comes on. It says you can make $1 million in less than a year. So you both talk it over and decide it's a really good move. And you invest your life savings and you lose it. And you know why? Because you've based your entire relationship and life on the fact that you instantly respond to bogus advertisements. But that's not the catastrophe. The catastrophe is that you have kids. Little losers. You've inbred a new incredibly gullible breed of human that will be taken advantage of their entire life. Then they'll meet someone else's little losers at another video dating service, and after a few generations, evolution will take over and there will be an entirely new pathetic breed of people that will only be capable of saying okay and writing checks. And all because you really thought you've been handpicked by an honest dating company searching for quality people.
And the funny thing is he's going through this movie railing about everything, and his occupation is a children's book author who doesn't feel like he's getting, you know, the due respect he deserves for his books, like How to Start the Family Car, which is only to be used in case of an emergency. If someone has a heart attack behind the wheel and a little kid has to drive to the hospital. Or his new favorite pop-up book, Bye Bye Grandma. Also known as What Happened to Grandma, which is about death. And then he goes on his rant about a rival author who has this great character called Happy the Clam.
Look at Murray Craig.
Please don't bring up Murray Craig.
Murray Craig is our top writer.
I know Murray Craig is the top writer. I know Murray Craig makes a lot of money. But Murray Craig has the mind of an ostrich.
His books sell.
He's uncreative.
He is not uncreative. He's the inventor of Happy the Clam.
Please don't bring up Happy the Clam.
Happy the Clam is and has been for the past 10 years our number one marketable figure. Everyone loves Happy the Clam. Children love Happy the Clam. Parents love Happy the Clam. My husband and I both love Happy the Clam.
It's a stupid concept.
It is not a stupid concept.
It's a clam. A clam. Could you possibly
It bears repeating. The watermelon popsicle. With all the annoyance of real watermelon.
He also has an issue eating cereal.
Yeah.
I don't have that same issue. I like Widner's milk done at the end.
Yes.
Because I can drink that milk. It's called cereal milk. And it's good.
Yeah. But he has, yeah, he doesn't like having to drink that. Having to slurp it up like a dog, as he says.
I will dogify it and slurp it up.
Yeah. Like I said, Janie Lane is in it. He's the upstairs neighbor who listens to thrash music.
Upstairs musical neighbor.
And pounds. You know, we've had neighbors like that. Not with the heavy metal. I wouldn't have minded that.
Mm-mm.
No. We had the one neighbor in Florida, in Fort Myers, that were overly amorous, like, all the time.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, great. See? Yeah. And it was like, and then we saw, like, you know, she was pregnant. We're like, we probably heard that. And then when we were in, was it Tennessee? Where we had the neighbors that would play Monster with their kid at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, really, dude? He'd be chasing around the kid. Bum, bum, roar! Like, dude.
Some of us have to be up in the morning.
Yeah. Come on. But, yeah. But, yeah. High Strung. It is not available on DVD. Not available on Blu-ray.
So how do they see it?
As far as I know, YouTube. It's on YouTube. If I'm not, I don't think I'm asking you to do anything wrong by watching it on YouTube, because it's not on Red. But I think it's on Steve Odekirk's actual YouTube channel.
Okay.
So, yeah. High Strung, Steve Odekirk, watch it. Great film. Highly recommend it. Hilarious. Hit me up again and let me know what you thought of it. Thank yous. I want to thank Farsighted Network once again. Buried Alive Film Fest. Everyone that contributed to the tweets. I mentioned you before. I thank you again. Big love. And we will talk to you after Halloween. Keep checking the YouTube page. I'm going to be putting stuff out this coming week. Get your friends to subscribe. Alright?
Sounds good.
We love you. Be decent to each other. Peace. Bye.